persons having business before this honorable court are admonished to draw near and give their attention as the court is now sitting. God save the United States and this honorable court.
Thank you. Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Judge Williams is not able to be with us this morning, but she will listen to the tapes of the arguments, and if Judge Sykes and I should fail to cover any topic of interest to Judge Williams, then we'll either reconvene or we will propound questions to the counsel. So, we'll proceed with the Tate case. Mr. Rossiello.
This case, Your Honor, is very familiar with, no doubt.
Yes.
We believe summary judgment was improper. It is a fact-intensive inquiry whether someone is employed as a seaman. The district court virtually wholesale adopted all of the facts that the defendant had in their 56A2 statement, all of their arguments, and virtually none of the plaintiff's facts. There is case law in this circuit that says that a wholesale adoption of a document of a party can be construed as an abrogation of the judicial responsibility. We believe summary judgment was improper because the district court applied obiter dictum in the last decision in the Harkins case, saying that there was a presumption that because an employee is employed is a seaman for Jones Act purposes, he is also a seaman for FLSA purposes. There is no such presumption. The inquiry of whether...
So you want us to overrule,
yes,
overrule my decision in Harkins?
Well, not. You don't have to overrule it. I would say qualify it. I think Your Honor might have been shooting from the hip when he said that, because the inquiry whether someone is a seaman for Jones Act purposes is a very complex issue. Chandris versus Latsis, the last Supreme Court case on the point. There's a recent Supreme Court case.
I mean, why is it? Because these people, your clients, class, they were all doing seamen's work. They weren't, you know, croupiers and bouncers. I don't understand a bouncer on a casino that's on his ship. That sounds a little ominous, throwing the person overboard. But in any event, these people are doing seamen's work.
That's just it. They're
clearly,
not.
Clearly.
It's
right?
A fact. No, that's just it. It's a question of fact whether they were.
I don't understand that.
Well,
they're people that are responsible for the safety of the ship and... You know, so they're not people you'd find at a landlocked casino, right?
Judge, you have to read the regulation carefully. I think the last case was decided a little bit too loosely. If you look at the Dole versus Petroleum Treaters and the Necton case, and the Owens case versus Maritime Sea River. What is seaman's work? Seaman's work is not preparing the vessel for navigation. Seaman's work, according to the regulation, is aid in the operation of the vessel, primarily as a means of transportation. Now, Your Honor, very loosely in the last case said a casino steamboat is a means of transportation. In the very loose, generic sense of the term, that's true. But the regulation says that the vessel has to be primarily in transportation. A casino gambling boat that's docked 92% of the time, which was not designed even for transportation, it was designed to be a casino, a floating casino.
And I should mean by transportation, is a houseboat not a boat?
Houseboat is a boat.
Well, but it doesn't move, right? It's moored next to the land, just like this boat.
Houseboats move. Oh,
of course. Houseboats move from time to time. So do these casino ships. They move from the place where they, you know, were built. But if a houseboat crew is a seaman's crew, why shouldn't a floating casino be?
See, I can see from your questions, it is a fact question the jury should decide. This cannot be decided as a matter of law.
I don't understand you. You concede that a houseboat's crew is consists of seamen, and yet that's no different from a casino boat in the sense that it spends most of its time moored rather than transporting people or cargo from one place to another. So what's the difference?
What do you mean a houseboat? You mean someone who buys a houseboat to go up and down?
You know anything about a houseboat?
Do I what?
Do you know anything about houseboats?
Not really.
Houseboats typically are where people live in a boat. And the houseboat typically is moored to the shore. And, you know, people go on and off and so on. There are restaurants, for example. Often you have boat restaurants that are moored to the shore. You walk on a gangplank up to the boat, but it has to have a crew because it's floating. You have various dangers associated with maritime activity, even when you're not going back and forth, right?
Yes, but I think you're making the wrong analysis completely. The issue for overtime purposes is whether the vessel is used primarily as a means of transportation. If the vessel is moored most of the time, even if it has a crew,
okay, so now you're taking back what you said about the houseboat. You're retracting your concession.
They've got that. They're not seamen in the classical sense.
But you're retracting the concession you made.
And I'm not retracting anything. I think Your Honor is just missing the point completely.
Right?
I think Your Honor is missing the point completely.
What's the difference between the houseboat and the casino?
A houseboat, it's essentially the same thing. The issue is whether the vessel...
It's essentially the same thing, and you concede that the houseboat crew are seamen. Then how are you going to distinguish the casino case? I don't get you.
The issue is not whether they're seamen. I mean, they're seamen in the most generic sense of the word. Seamen de jure and seamen de facto. They may be seamen de facto, but not seamen de jure for overtime purposes. For overtime purposes, according to the Labor Department's regulations cited in our brief, the vessel has to be primarily used as a means of transportation. Now, that vessel is not designed to be a means of transportation. It's designed to float almost permanently at moorside. It has three keels. It has a large flat bottom. That vessel is out of navigation 6 months a year, from October through April. Doesn't move. The navigation lights are out.
Well, how about on its maiden voyage from Florida to Chicago?
I know all about that. That's got nothing to do with it. The question is whether...
I'm sorry, you lost me.
Well,
it has... It was built in Florida, and it was shipped, and it sailed to East Chicago. Now,
it took 2 months to get there.
Would you let me finish?
Yeah.
During that trip, that maiden voyage, were these people seamen for overtime purposes?
No, they weren't.
Hmm?
No, they weren't.
Okay.
But when they got to Indiana, and the boat was moored almost permanently, 92% of the time, and it's out of navigation 6 months, anybody working on that boat was entitled to overtime. Now,
so you say their status changed when the boat moored.
Exactly.
What about when the boat does take its occasional voyages? Do they then become seamen?
Probably.
So it goes back and forth.
Because
sometimes they're
seamen
entitled overtime, sometimes not?
Exactly. And that's what the Labor Department found. That boat has the navigation lights out 6 months a year. It doesn't even move. And there are records to show when it leaves and when it doesn't leave. So the issue, and the blackjack dealers, by the way, are seamen for Jones Act purposes. Okay? Now, the Labor Department found that they were entitled to overtime, and that was settled with the Labor Department. But the maritime crew... also was shown to have about $127,000 in overtime due, which was never paid. I'd like to save some of my rebuttal time.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Rossiello. Mr. Anaclerio?
Good morning, Your Honors. I have to disagree that Harkin's consideration, the decision reflected oversight or a brief consideration or disregard for
shooting
the underlying facts.
Shooting from the hip.
I don't think shooting from the hip is how I would describe that decision. Obviously, Your Honor, we believe that Harkins was correctly decided and that it controls this case. We believe that the district court, far from having abdicated her responsibility to review the record that was amassed in this case, which included more than 60 depositions, including all of the plaintiffs, including members representing the union that negotiated the terms and conditions of their employment, including numerous captains of the vessel, we believe that in reviewing the facts that we submitted, she didn't just consider the facts that the defense submitted. In fact, principal among the things that were what she relied on factually as to the duties of these employees were admissions that the plaintiffs furnished, having to do with the details of what their work was. And that work was not the work of bouncers or waiters or croupiers, blackjack dealers. It was the work of seamen. Your Honor acknowledged, recognized in the Harkins decision that because of the peculiar nature of their work, the service of seamen entails a broad variety of different responsibilities. The plaintiffs in this case acknowledged that in the district court, cleaning, housekeeping duties, maintenance of the vessel, painting the vessel, looking out for fires, emptying trash, moving slot machines. All of these things could, in a land-based casino, perhaps be characterized as non-maritime duties, but they have a maritime dimension and a critical importance to maritime safety on a casino boat. If you move the slot machines the wrong way, not only might you be in violation of the Coast Guard's mandates for weight distribution, you can capsize the vessel. If you inadequately look out for fires, you can make the vessel, its passengers and crew, prone to probably the single biggest safety hazard aboard any vessel, which is fire.
Is there a crew at night?
Yes. The boat is staffed in accordance with the Coast Guard Certificate of Inspection that mandates the complement of crew that's required in each of the various maritime job headings: captain, mates, ordinary seamen, able-bodied seamen, fire watches. So there's a dictated number of each type of person that has to be aboard the vessel. It is contrary not just to Harkins, but to at least 60 or 70 years of established FLSA authority to suggest that there is this intermittent application and inapplicability of the seaman exemption depending upon whether the vessel is underway or not. You can look at decisions back in the middle and late 40s for this proposition. As Your Honor recognized in Harkins, it is important that the law have some predictability for employers so that they can figure their costs and know what their labor obligations are and what they are not. That's not a new proposition. Back in the middle and the late 40s, when this exemption was being explored initially by a number of different courts, the whole idea of whether intermittent application of the exemption was a good or bad thing was explored, and the courts rejected the notion that if the boat is moored or even in dry dock, the exemption becomes inapplicable. If the duties of the crew remain the same, the exemption remains applicable. For example, in that Walling versus Keensburg case that we cite in our briefs, the boat is not just not underway. The boilers and the engines are disassembled, but the crew remains present on board doing maintenance of the vessel essential to it functioning as a means of transportation. And as a consequence, those intervals don't obviate the applicability of the exemption. So too, when the Windstar is out of service laid up in the winter months, its crew remains exempt. This is not simply the Windstar. This is a reality which the captains who have testified in this lawsuit have driven home to us about the consequences of exposure to 38-degree water. People cannot survive in it for very long. So it's not just gaming vessels. We're talking about all kinds of vessels which, until I heard these arguments, I would not have thought anybody would contest are staffed by seamen. all kinds of vessels are off of that lake in these cold weather months for that reason. And while they are off, they still need to be staffed with crews. The crews are exempt if they are performing maritime work. If, on the other hand, they have responsibilities which are have no maritime tincture whatsoever, as Your Honor used the term in the Harkins decision, then they may not be exempt. The fact-specific nature of the inquiry does not mean that a district court cannot decide as a matter of law that the exemption is applicable. The plaintiffs made a cross motion for summary judgment below, arguing just that the inapplicability of the exemption was established as a matter of law. So too could Judge St. Eve look at the record as a whole, find there to be no genuine issue of fact as to whether their duties were maritime and whether they worked on a vessel in navigation, and determine that the exemption applied.
Are all of the employees on the boat subject to the captain's command in a maritime sense, or just the maritime crew itself? The employees?
The marine crew are.
Okay.
There are non-marine crew staff that are trained in safety functions. In situations of that nature, I believe that they would be subject to the authority of the master of the vessel, like all the marine crew would be. For example, there are dealers, there are beverage servers who are trained in the use of inflatable buoyant apparatus, but they don't participate as members of the marine crew in the day-to-day functioning of the vessel as a vessel. If Your Honors have no additional questions for me, I'll...
Okay, thank you, Mr. Anacleario. Mr. Rossiello, how much time does he have? 1 minute? Okay.
Yeah, counsel is correct. If you look at some of the early cases, one of those Walling cases, it was involved a dredge. No overtime was due when the vessel was in motion. Overtime was due when it was docked. If you look at the recent Supreme Court case of Stewart versus Dutra that's cited, you'll see that the inquiry of what is a vessel is not easy. You'll also see that this court earlier, I think in the Howard case, followed the Pavoni case from New Orleans, which had in it that a gambling boat that's moored most of the time is not in transportation. That was applied, I think, in a Jones Act case. Also, this, Your Honors, this court's statement, rather, that this would make things simple needs to be qualified. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you to both counsel. Next case for argument,